This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Even longtime weather reporters were shocked by the 1-2 punch of Hurricanes Helene and Milton. Dr. Michael Wehner is not. Michael is a senior scientist at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. He testifies to Congress and appears in major media, as well as on Radio EcoShock last February. Dr. Wehner has published extensively on hurricanes. From California, Michael Wehner, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Well, thanks for having me back.
An Atlantic magazine headline reads, "Milton is the hurricane that scientists were dreading." You say the rapid development of Milton is shocking, but not surprising. How come?
Well, we've long known that rapid intensification of hurricanes and tropical cyclones can happen when the water is underneath is warm, because it can provide so much energy, and that because of climate change, because of global warming, this circumstance is happening more frequently, where the water is warm enough to enable rapid intensification. So this is something that has long been expected. I mean, I don't think this is the first one of these that has been made more intense by climate change, and it certainly won't be the last. So it's shocking, don't get me wrong, but it's not surprising.
It is still early as we speak with a lot of unknowns, but what seemed remarkable to you about Hurricane Milton as it spun up in the Gulf of Mexico? Anything?
Well, its rapid intensification was particularly large. The formal definition is 35 miles an hour increase in wind speeds in 24 hours, and it far exceeded that. And so that kind of, you know, explosive growth in intensity and the energy of a storm is pretty remarkable.
With two colleagues at Lawrence Berkeley Lab, you issued a provisional attribution statement about extremely intense rainfall during 24 hours of Hurricane Helene. You said, quote, "Our best estimate is that climate change may have caused as much as 50% more rainfall during Hurricane Helene in some parts of Georgia and the Carolinas," end quote. Why were rains so extreme that Asheville and many other small communities were partly washed away?
Well, what we've known from this study and quite a number of other formal peer-reviewed studies of other hurricanes is that climate change makes the rainfall more intense. It really kind of supercharges the rainfall in these very large storms. And that's because of two things. One is that it's well publicized, I think, that the warmer air can hold more water. And so when the air is fully saturated, like in a hurricane, there's 7% more water contained in that atmosphere, in that air, per degree centigrade of warming. But that's not the end of the story. The other part of the story is that because it's warmer, there's also more energy. Because there's more energy, the winds are a little bit stronger, you know, 5 or 8% maybe. And that causes the vertical motion of the storm to be considerably stronger, making the storm more efficient. And so you sort of have a double whammy. You've got more moisture because of the ability of the atmosphere, warmer atmosphere, to hold more moisture. And then the storm is more efficient at raining out that increased available moisture.
And on the subject of extreme rains, you co-authored a paper in 2022 finding that both extreme three-hourly rainfall rates and extreme three-day accumulated rainfall amounts are increasing. What does that mean, and why does it matter?
Well, it means that severe storms are more severe, and that floods are bigger, and that the impacts, the suffering of the people that live in those regions is made worse.
Rubble from Hurricane Helene was still lining streets in coastal Florida as Milton barreled towards them. Research published February 2023 in Nature Climate Change was titled "Increasing Sequential Tropical Cyclone Hazards Along the U.S. East and Gulf Coasts." So it sounds like scientists were already aware and looking at multiple impact events like the ones we've just seen.
Well, having sequential storms is something that has happened in the past and will continue in the future. I think what's different is that because the frequency of major hurricanes, you know, category 3, 4, 5, is increased, the odds of having two rather serious ones in a row is increased.
But you are co-author of a June 2022 paper in the same journal titled Declining Tropical Cyclone Frequency Under Global Warming. So are we expecting fewer hurricanes but larger when they come?
Well, you've just highlighted probably the most interesting question in hurricane climate science, climate change science today, and that is what's going to happen to the frequency of tropical storms across the planet of all strengths, from tropical storm strength to Category 5, and there's differences of opinions. In our paper and in some of our other work, we've shown that the total number of storms will decrease with a warmer world, and that's because the atmosphere is somewhat more stable in a warmer world. But there are another point of view, Carrie Emanuel being one of the proponents, is that that's not the case, that the number of hurricanes across the world will stay more or less the same. I think we all agree that the distribution of hurricane winds is shifting towards larger values. So whether or not there's more or less is sort of one interesting question. But given that the big storms are the ones that cause the most suffering and damages, those are going to be bigger and more frequent. I think we're pretty much on the same page, regardless of what we think about this other question of frequency. I guess I would also say that, you know, I don't think we know the answer to this, but it could be different in different basins, that, you know, what controls the frequency of hurricanes in the Atlantic could be very different than what controls in the Western Pacific, for instance.
Yes, I kind of presume that the theory would be that the atmosphere would become more stable as the planet warms. And by the way, listeners, that's not a good thing, because we need the winds and the ocean currents to keep flowing as they do now. But, Michael, how far off would that stabilization be in theory, and could we encounter more violent disruptions in the transition?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't think I know the answer to that. But I do know that, you know, storms like Milton are not as unusual as they once were. Milton is currently the strongest tropical cyclone that's happened this year, but it won't be the strongest in the decade, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's rated now as either the fourth or the fifth strongest Atlantic hurricane that we've recorded so far. But yes, there have been some giants, Wilma and Rita and Harvey, and on we go. I wanted to ask, have these twin disasters of the 2024 hurricane season, which is far from over, have they left a story for scientists and like yourself to study, or do we already know enough?
Well, there are interesting questions about the impacts of these storms that still remain. For Hurricane Helene, this storm is a little different than the ones we've made attribution statements in the past, the important ones being most recently Hurricane Ian and Hurricane Florence, before that Hurricane Harvey. And there, when we were talking about the rainfall, it was all in relatively flat areas, Florida and coastal Carolina and Texas, Houston, Texas. And this storm, of course, was in the mountains, the Smoky Mountains. And topography is an important factor in the pattern of rainfall and the amount of rainfall. And so I think an interesting question for me is, you know, how does the presence of steep topography interact with these known effects of climate change on rainfall? You know, does it make it worse, or does it have no effect, or less? I mean, we don't know the answer to that yet.
Yes. When we talked in February, you called for a new Cat 6 designation to cover more powerful storms as climate changes. Has there been any progress on that?
Well, I think to be clear, we're not advocating for an official expansion of the Saffir-Simpson scale. In fact, you know, our view on this now is that the Saffir-Simpson scale is useful for pointing out that the risk of major hurricanes has increased. There are, you know, more Cat 5 storms than there used to be, and, you know, these Cat 6 storms would be a new phenomenon. But what we really feel is that as a warning tool for warning the public of the dangers of an impending storm, like currently with Milton, the Saffir-Simpson scale isn't very good. A single number can't convey the kind of risk that people the information about risk that people need to know to take action. And so instead, what we're encouraging is that people utilize the verbal warnings and the graphical products of the National Hurricane Center, whether they obtain them directly from their website or from their local broadcast meteorologist, because these tell you exactly what you need to know. You know, are you in a flood zone? You know, are the winds going to be, you know, very, very damaging in your particular neighborhood or region, and, you know, and whether to take action or not. And so we urge people to, you know, in a case like this with an impending storm, to pay no attention to the category and pay more attention to these detailed products so they know how to stay safe.
Yes, one of those new detailed products that I just saw on a local station in Florida is that they can project, I don't know if they're doing it by satellite or by radar, where the debris fields are, so that if stuff from the previous hurricane gets lifted up into the air and thrown around, they can actually map out where it's going. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, indeed. Radar can show when this is moving, and that's one of the ways that tornadoes can be visualized in real time by the debris that it kicks up. And in fact, Milton has produced quite a large number of tornadoes, and so that's yet another hazard from tropical cyclones that is still, you know, not as well understood as it needs to be.
And at least one of those cyclones generated by Milton was an EF3, which one weather person said they couldn't find any record of that in that part of Florida before.
That's astonishing.
Yep. So as we wrap up here on a personal level, and maybe not speaking for the lab, Michael, you saw this coming many years ago. How does it feel to now live out this awful confirmation of those predictions you and your team made? How do you handle that?
Well, it's awful, of course. I mean, you know, we've known this was coming, you know, that this kind of extreme weather was, you know, dangerous climate change being manifested through this kind of extreme weather. And the human tragedy is moving for anyone, especially, you know, for these last two storms, because I've had friends who are impacted. And, you know, that moves this out of the academic regime for someone like me and becomes much more personal.
Yes. I also have a sort of distant friend, but a friend nonetheless in Asheville, and I've been hearing some reports there that are pretty scary. From Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, we've been speaking with senior scientist Michael Wehner, and you can find links to all the science and news we just talked about in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Michael, thank you for sharing time with us as the storms roll in.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.